Yeah, it's good to see everyone out. Hope that everybody's doing well and encouraged as we've gone throughout our service so far. It's always wonderful to be here, to worship God, to teach and admonish one another in the hymns that we have sung, to just encourage one another, and of course to remember all that God has done for us. It is good to be here. A lot of things as we go throughout our lives, sometimes it's hard to remember to focus on the good and to remember to keep on doing good. Start off today, I want to start off with James chapter 4 and verse 17. James chapter 4 and verse 17. And read there, it says, "Therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." Not a very long verse. A verse that many might overread from time to time. Because we know in a manner that we're supposed to be doing good. We know in some points that we're supposed to act and do good and be kind and love. But as we read this verse and truly look at what it has to say, I believe it says a lot. Because as we think about knowing to do good, how often do we know good things we could be doing and yet just ignore it? How often do we get caught up and think to ourselves that I'm just kind of tired of doing this, so I'm not going to do it today? We grow tired of doing good. Because when we think about sin, we often think about actions of sin. Things that are wrong to do. Things you should not do. Go forth and read about adultery, sexual immorality. We think about murder. We think about stealing. You may think about lusting, covetousness. Go forth and think about how people do things, and therefore they're in sin. We go forth and preach, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that, thou shalt not forsake the assembly, thou shalt not. And we list all the things and go down the line of the things that are sin. And say, you cannot do these things. You cannot teach these things. You cannot go forth and participate in these things. And therefore, because we look at it and say, well, I'm not doing these things, I'm not sinning. But here, as we read this part, it tells us if we're not doing good, something you should be doing, something you should be acting upon, something that we should know to do because simply we know it to be good. To him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. I simply want to go through and look at a few verses this morning as a reminder of good things, a reminder of acting upon good actions, and of course following in the footsteps of Christ, the ultimate example of our Father up above, our Lord and Savior, and see that we need to be doing good, to act, continue to act upon these good actions, these good works that we should be doing. To do good. If you will, open your Bibles and turn along with me to Romans chapter 12 and verse 21. Romans chapter 12 and in verse 21. A reminder here says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. A reminder that as we face temptations and we face persecution, and we live our lives upon this earth in a world of corruption, that we have to overcome evil with good and not overcome good with evil. But we must continue to do good. In Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, Isaiah chapter 5, and you read along with me there, and in verse 20. As it reads, it says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Because as we consider the ways of the world, the ways the world is teaching today, that is exactly what they're caught up in doing. Is they're changing what God has called good, what God has commanded us to go forth and do, what He has put into a natural, how He created us to be natural. And mankind goes forth and starts to call those things evil, calls them bad, that we are wrong for teaching against all these other things. And then it comes back to us, and how are you going to react to such things? How are you going to react to the ways of the world? Are we going to turn to evilness? Are we going to accept their evil ways? Are we going to continue down that path? Or will we overcome evil with good? Will we remain faithful to our Lord? Turn back to Matthew. Turn to Matthew with me. Matthew chapter 19, verse 17. Matthew 19 and in verse 17. Go ahead and read with me, starting in verse 16. It says, "Now behold, one came and said to him, 'Good teacher, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life?' So he said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments.'" A reminder here, again, of who to look to know what is good. Jesus simply makes it plain and clear. He says there is one that we should be looking to, one who is good, and we look to Him to see what is good and how we should be acting, how we should be living our lives. Our God is good. And Psalm 100, the 100th Psalm, and looking at verse 5. Psalm 100, and reading verse 5, here it says, "For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations." God is good. We have that hymn in our hymn books. It is titled, "God is good." God is so good. He is so good to us. So if we're looking to know what is good and bad, to know what is righteous and unrighteous, what is lawful and unlawful, we look to our God. We open up His Word and we study it because that is good. To continue to do good, we have to be willing to open up our Bibles and search the Scriptures. And of course, as we read there in Matthew, and if you continue to read, Jesus said, "Keep the commandments." Verse 18 and 19, He goes further and says, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And He goes forth, He lists all these things. And of course, He's referring to the Ten Commandments there, or as we might bring out, the first and second greatest commandment, of loving your neighbor as yourself. To love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And we'll talk more about those points here in a bit. But it's about doing what God, He who is good, has commanded us. Because He is guiding us in the right direction. He is showing us. He showed us by sending His Son down to die for us, by giving us the example in whose footsteps we should be following. Remembering to do good. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21. Says, Test all things, hold fast what is good. Test all things, hold fast what is good. Again, as we go forth and we have others teaching things, and you know that there's false doctrines out there, it says, hold on to what is good. Verse 22, abstain from every form of evil. Yes, we are to stay away from thou shalt nots. Because if we get caught up in that, then you're certainly not doing good. But remember that we're to hold on to what is good also, to do what is good. Just as if you were to read the verses above this in verse 15, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourself and for all. Remember that we are to be looking out for what is good for everybody. Just as Jesus, again, suffering on the cross. We just took the Lord's Supper in remembrance of that. You tell me how it was good for Jesus to be beat, to be scourged, to be pierced, to be nailed to a cross, to be hung, to be mocked, to be spat on. That good that he had done, the faithfulness, the holding back of calling 12 legions of angels to come and stop him, was for you and I. It was looking out for you and me. God is showing his love for us. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9 and 10. Galatians chapter 6 and verses 9 and 10. It says, let us not grow weary. Let us not grow tired of doing good. While doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Again, don't grow tired of doing good. We get tired of doing good. We get tired of forgiving people. We get tired of showing up for every service. Be convenient to stay home. Do we grow tired of visiting one another? Of picking up the phone and sending a message or giving a call? Do we get tired of doing our Bible class lesson? Showing hospitality? Of shining our light into an ugly world of darkness. Tired of people rejecting us because we're trying to show the truth and show the love of God. It says, let us not grow weary in doing good. To remember to do good unto all. Turn along with me to Matthew chapter 22. These next points I want to bring out are mainly focused upon the love that we're to have, and how that helps us to do good. So many verses throughout the Word of God that speaks to the love of God, that speaks to us as loving one another. Matthew 22 and verse 37. Matthew 22 and verse 37 says, love, Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And again, as we ask that question, if you're growing tired of doing good, have you ever got caught up in that point of just getting tired of loving God? You get caught up into that point of questioning why your life is going down this road, why you're going through these struggles, these persecutions, these trialsome times. You grow tired of putting your trust in the Almighty. We need to remember to keep our love for our Father up above. Remembering to go to Him in prayer and that He will strengthen us, that He will provide an escape out of all temptations that you may be facing. That as we might be struggling here on earth, He prepares for us a home in heaven. But not just our God, but our neighbors. Those who we see from day to day, those who we pass by, those who are literally living beside us, those who we see at work. We're real tired of just having a good heart towards everybody, loving one another, In 1 John chapter 4, we ask, do we grow tired of having love for our brothers and sisters in Christ? It says love, in verse 20, if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Love for each other, for our brothers and sisters in Christ, members of this congregation, to be here to strengthen one another, to stir up love and good works, to help and assist one another, to live that faithful life with each other. Do we grow tired of our love for each other? How about for our family? Ephesians chapter 5, we'll start there in verse 22. It'll speak about the love and respect that a husband and wife have for one another. And of course, as we can look and we can do our research on the internet and see how the results are of marriage today in the world, people grow tired of doing good for their spouses, of loving one another, of doing what is good for your wife and doing what is good for your husband and being there for each other and strengthening each other and living as one. You go further down and you get into chapter 6 and you read verses 1 through 4 and you read about the love that the children are supposed to have for the parents, to honor them, to love them, to respect them, that fathers are to raise them in the sight of God, to make that sacrifice, to show them the right direction that they're supposed to live. Do we lose sight of doing good for our family? Being there for each other, having that love for one another. You can also bring it out that we need to keep on having love for our enemies. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43. Matthew chapter 5, and you read there in verse 43, it says, you have heard that it is said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good. He sends the rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even tax collectors do so. Therefore you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. How? Because we love. Because we actually apply that into our hearts and into our actions. And we don't grow tired of it. And when it is hard and we're struggling with it, we go back to God. We read about His love. We let His love strengthen us. Because we know that at one point we were His enemy. At one point, while we were in sin, we were against Him. And yet, while we were in sin, He sacrificed His Son. Jesus died for you. You sit there and think about it. You think God grows tired of doing good? How often He has to forgive? He watches the world continue to turn a beautiful creation of His, mankind, again, another beautiful creation of His, continue in a path of sin, continue to reject Him every day. And yet He loves us. He wants what is best for us. He is long-suffering, hoping, desiring that all would come to repentance. Let us look at a few verses that point out a few good actions that we need to continue in. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with passion and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us add these things to our life. Let us produce the fruit of the Spirit. We want to continue in what is good. Apply these things to our life. Again, let us have love for one another. Let us be joyful from day to day, looking to the things that should make us happy, knowing that we are children of God, knowing that He has a home in heaven, knowing that you have been forgiven, knowing that He loves you, knowing that you have brothers and sisters in Christ that love you. There's so many things we can start listing off that show that we should be joyful as Christians. And help us remember to be good upon this earth, to do what is good, to seek peace with all, to be patient with all. Turn along with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. It says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord in whatever you do. In order to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father. Again, applying these things. These are good works. Good things to be doing. Good things to be applying to our faith and into our actions and to show to everyone. Bearing one another. Holding up each other. Ephesians, or 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, reading and in verse 5. Again, add to your faith as we read through here. That's supposed to be 2 Peter chapter 1, not 1 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5 says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we do these things, we apply these things, and we act upon these things, it says we will not be barren. We will produce the fruit of the Lord, the fruit of the Spirit. We will continue to do good. But in verse 9 it says, for he who lacks these things, short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We feel that we are struggling. Come back and read this again. Study the Word of God and see what it is we need to add to our faith so that we can once more walk with the Lord, continuing to fight the good fight and doing good in this world. Let us not grow tired in doing good, for he who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Verse that we should memorize and have on mind as we go from day to day. As I know there's many times that I can sit here and think about it, say, you know, that wasn't the good thing to do. We just let it slide by. There's so much good that we can do that we shouldn't do. We want to extend the invitation to any who is here this morning to act upon their faith in the Lord, those who know what they need to do in order to be saved. It is good to set an example for others. It is good to come to the Lord and let Him have His way with you. So if you're here and you need to be baptized, if you're here and you need the prayers of the congregation, whatever we can do for you, we let it be known as we stand and sing.